the primary vote for Wisconsin State Supreme Court Justice happens next week. I'm Keely Boltina in for Kate Archer-Kent, and we've invited all three candidates to talk with us ahead of the election. The top two vote-getters in the February 18th primary advance to the general Supreme Court election in April. Your calls are welcome today, tomorrow, and Wednesday at this time as we welcome different candidates. What questions do you have for someone who hopes to be Wisconsin's next Supreme Court justice? What do you want to say about the court's recent rulings or the way justices approach cases? 800-642-1234. There's a line for you there. Or you can email ideas at WPR.org. Dane County Judge Jill Karofsky and current Supreme Court Justice Daniel Kelly are in the primary. So is today's guest, Ed Filone. He's a candidate for the Wisconsin Supreme Court. He's also a law professor at Marquette University in Milwaukee. Professor Filone, thank you for being here with us on the Ideas Network.
It's a pleasure, Keely.
You know, you're campaigning to unseat Justice Dan Kelly after Governor Scott Walker appointed him in 2016. Why should voters bring change to the state's high court?
Well, I think voters have been frustrated for a long time with the candidates for our state Supreme Court. They don't know much about the candidates. They seem to come from the same narrow perspective and experience. So I've been running a campaign really focused on asking the voters, what kind of justice would you like to see on the court? I bring an expertise. I'm a constitutional law professor, experienced criminal defense lawyer. But most importantly, I'm someone who spent over 25 years leading nonprofit organizations that help working families and our immigrants find affordable lawyers so they can get real fair justice in the courts. So I'm just talking to everyone about bringing that perspective to the court and what an improvement that would be.
Inevitably, though, you are up against other people. So why are you a better candidate than your opponents, that's Justice Kelly and Dane County Judge Jill Karofsky?
Well, there's no question that I'm qualified for this position after being a law professor almost 30 years, a constitutional law expert, someone who was asked to advise Senator Herb Kohl on four United States Supreme Court nominations, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Stephen Breyer, Sonia Sotomayor, and Elena Kagan, someone who was spoke out in defense of the Merrick Garland nomination at the request of the Obama White House Office of Communications. So my opinion has been sought at the highest levels, and I'm also just someone who has a real concern for our working families in the justice system, and I've devoted a substantial part of my career trying to make the justice system work better from the nonprofit sector, and I think I can do more from a seat on the court.
Yeah, you highlighted your qualifications. We've also heard that from Justice Kelly, saying his appellate work as an attorney and his time on the court gives him the best experience. Judge Karofsky says she's most qualified as a judge handling trials. So how do you respond to those specific arguments about experience?
Well, what matters is the breadth of experience. You know, Justice Kelly has had a very narrow range of clients in his careers. He's tended to represent political parties, political candidates, politically connected individuals. Really, I believe that his appointment is more a reflection of his loyalty to partisan political parties than it is to his breadth of experience. On the other hand, I have experience, substantial experience, in both the criminal system, where I defended clients in the largest national FBI procurement fraud investigation in U.S. history, and in the civil system, where I defended clients in $350 million fraud lawsuits. And I have experience as a constitutional law professor, teaching, writing, studying our Constitution for 25 years. So I bring a breadth of experience, not some narrow set of clients or a narrow set of former experience.
We've heard you on the campaign trail draw a contrast with other candidates on how you view court precedent. What do you think the role of precedent is in these cases, the role of rulings of the past when it comes to deciding something that's in front of you today?
Well, this is a very important issue, and it's fundamental to our court system. We have prior rulings from courts, and I may disagree with the rationale, the reasoning that the courts use to arrive at those rulings. And in fact, over my 30-year career, I've published a lot of articles and blog posts explaining why I disagree with some prior cases, like Citizens United, which allowed First Amendment rights to apply to campaign finance laws, or the Heller decision, which applied to the right to own a handgun in your home for self-defense. So I've been clear where I've disagreed with prior cases. But where I really draw a distinction between myself and Justice Daniel Kelly, the incumbent, is he wants to reach out and overturn prior cases he disagrees with. And I think that that politicizes the court It turns every election, it turns every judicial appointment process into a political battle to see who can get their preferred candidate on the court, because everything's on the table if you overturn precedent. Every political battle can be refought. And so I think it's important for our country, for our state, that judges respect precedent. What is decided is decided. It's very important which candidate you select, because going forward, there's still important issues that need to be decided. But I'm not looking to relitigate old battles.
Yeah, no, Justice Kelly says that precedent should be overturned when proven errors were made. And you say that precedent should be overturned when there's no longer justification that stands up to scrutiny. How are those different?
Well, he has often spoken about how he looks at the reasoning of a prior decision, and if he thinks that reasoning was incorrect and does not reflect the correct interpretation of either a statute or the Constitution, Justice Kelly says he feels an obligation to overturn that prior case. And that's really Dan Kelly imposing his interpretation, Dan Kelly's Constitution on us. What I do is I say judges should have humility. I talk a lot about judicial restraint on the campaign trail, and that's the traditional view that judges should actually hesitate to reach constitutional issues unless absolutely necessary, that there may be other grounds to decide a case, statutory grounds, factual issues. And if it's not necessary to reach a constitutional question, don't reach out and decide it. And I think that that's a very big difference between myself and Justice Kelly. He's demonstrated that he's looking for opportunities to rewrite the Constitution in his own image.
We're talking about the Wisconsin Supreme Court race with Professor Ed Filone. He's campaigning for a 10-year term on the court. The top two finishers in the field of three in February 18th's primary advance to an April runoff. What questions do you have for Professor Filone? What do you want to know about his qualifications or his positions as he seeks the seat on the Supreme Court? Call 800-642-1234. There's some context that all candidates bring to this, Professor Filone. You and Judge Kurofsky signed the 2011 petition to recall Governor Walker over Act 10. Before his appointment, Justice Kelly published articles on things like same-sex marriage and affirmative action. We wonder how much should voters consider those past actions, which are political in nature, when weighing the candidates in this election?
Well, I have never talked in terms of which political party wins or loses. I don't look at outcomes. I talk about principles. And so I defend principles. I defend free speech for all. When I defended the Solidarity Singers in the state capitol of Madison, it wasn't because of what they were saying. It was because I defended the principle of free speech. And similar with the recall, I defend the sovereign power of the people under the Wisconsin Constitution to at any time decide they want to recall an elected official. That's why that provision is in our state constitution. So I have a demonstrated track record over 30 years of speaking out based on principles. That's what I'll continue to do. You can look at my webpage, filoneforjustice.com. I've put all my writings on the webpage so the public can see. It's transparent. And if someone says that my speaking out and in favor of equal protection under the law or the separation of church and state is a political position, I simply say, just look at the Constitution. It's right there.
I take you at your word that you are signed that petition on principle and not necessarily because of any sort of partisanship. And yet the act, the standing up for those principles, can be seen as partisan, especially if it aligns repeatedly against Republican leaders. So how do you address the concept of partisanship when, in theory, the Wisconsin State Supreme Court is not supposed to be partisan?
Well, I'm the only candidate in this race who has avoided politicizing this race. Again and again, I've resisted any attempt to cast this election for our state Supreme Court in terms of Republican versus Democrat. You have the incumbent Daniel Kelly, who has physically located his campaign headquarters within the Republican Party headquarters. Now, that's a pretty clear statement of which side he's on. My other opponent consistently talks about us versus them on the campaign trail and in public forums, where she identifies the them as including Republicans. And I have criticized both of them for doing that. I'm running to be a Supreme Court justice for all the people of Wisconsin. If you look at what I've stood up for in my career, immigrant rights, free speech, the LGBTQ community and their rights, then I think you'll see that you could probably guess my political leanings. But I'm not running as a political candidate. I'm running to defend the principles in our Constitution.
And yet, why do you consider yourself as the more independent candidate when we can see you have supporters, Democrats, including, you know, high-profile Milwaukee Mayor Tom Barrett?
Well, there are many public officials in southeastern Wisconsin who have endorsed me, and I'm very proud of that. They've endorsed me because they know me, because they've seen me as a leader in the nonprofit community in southeastern Wisconsin, leading the Latino Community Center, which intervened with at-risk youth to keep them out of gang activity in one of Milwaukee's toughest neighborhoods. They've seen me leading Centro Legal and providing affordable lawyers to working families throughout the southeastern portion of our state when they have legal issues related to divorce or landlord-tenant issues. They've seen me helping to provide low-cost lawyers in our immigrant communities. So I'm getting support and endorsement from a wide range of elected officials, but these are people who know me personally. They've worked with me solving local problems, and they know that on the state Supreme Court, I'll keep trying to make the justice system work better for everyone.
Wisconsin Supreme Court candidate Ed Filone stays with us here on the State Capitol Report. He's making the case to get your vote in next week's nonpartisan primary so he can move on to the general election ballot in April for state Supreme Court. And we wonder, what do you want to ask this Supreme Court hopeful? What do you need to know before casting your vote on Tuesday? What issues do you consider when trying to determine who to vote for in a state Supreme Court election? There's a line for you at 800-642-1234. We have all three of the candidates on this week to connect with you and to answer your questions. 800-642-1234. Our conversation with candidate Ed Filone continues in just a few moments. I'm Keely Boltina. It's The Morning Show, and you're listening here on the Ideas Network. Seven justices make up Wisconsin State Supreme Court, and our guest today wants to be one of them. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Keely Boltina, and Ed Filone is talking with us as a candidate in the Supreme Court primary. He's one of three people vying for two spots on the general Supreme Court election ballot. What questions do you have for Wisconsin Supreme Court candidate Ed Filone? What do you want to know about his positions or qualifications? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. You can also tweet us at WPR Mornings or email ideas@WPR.org. And Howard from Portage is ready to join our conversation about the state Supreme Court race. Hi, Howard.
Hi, thank you. Ed, I'm wondering, in your opinion, if partisan gerrymandering is potentially illegal or completely legal. I'm not real happy with it. And if the United States Supreme Court, by refusing to consider these laws or procedures, are shirking their responsibility, or perhaps they have no authority there.
All right. Thanks for the question, Howard. Ed Filone, what do you think, partisan gerrymandering as it relates to your candidacy for the state Supreme Court?
Well, it's an important issue, and it's one that the United States Supreme Court has, in my opinion, shirked their responsibility on. They have said that the federal courts cannot decide the constitutionality of gerrymandered legislative districts, but that state Supreme Courts can. And so, in fact, we've seen various state Supreme Courts across the country, like in North Carolina, interpreting their own state constitution to strike down maps. And that issue is going to come before the Wisconsin Supreme Court. So I don't want to prejudge any case, but I can tell you this. The Wisconsin Constitution defines the right to vote. It defines who are the electors in our state who can exercise that right. And it has an equal protection provision that guarantees that our right to vote must be equal to everyone else's right to vote in the state. And so these are going to be some of the issues that I would be deciding on the state Supreme Court. Look, our Constitution is a machine for self-government. It guarantees our ability to participate in the making of the laws that we live under. And when you have partisan gerrymandered districts or extreme voter ID laws that take away our vote and our ability to participate, then the very fundamental purpose of our Constitution is frustrated.
Yeah, there are some nuances, though, when it comes to participation. I mean, on the campaign trail, you've pushed for the Supreme Court to adopt clear rules saying when justices should remove themselves from cases. Heard you mention it a little bit in your answer. So if you're elected, when would you recuse yourself from these cases?
Well, this is easy for me to answer because I've spent 7 years talking about this issue. Back in 2013, I was a candidate for the court, and one of my primary campaign platforms was the need to have change to the current rule that allows our state Supreme Court justices and other judges to sit and hear and decide cases where a major campaign contributor is either the lawyer or the party in front of them. That is just toxic to our system. If someone loses a case in a courtroom in Wisconsin, they shouldn't leave the courthouse wondering whether they lost on the merits or whether they lost because the opposing party had made a contribution to the judge. There was a petition filed by over 50 retired judges in our state that set reasonable contribution amounts that would require judges to step down from a case, $10,000 in the case of the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And in the last 7 years, I've done public speaking and public education efforts and worked with groups like Common Cause in Wisconsin to advocate for the adoption of that rule. The current majority of our court refuses to do so. The incumbent Dan Kelly defends the current rule, and I would continue my fight to get the rule changed, and I think more effectively from a seat on the court.
If someone donates $20,000 to your campaign, then the maximum allowed amount from an individual contributor, would you recuse yourself from cases involving them?
Well, yes. I think if someone donates a major amount to my campaign and they're a party in my case, or they're a lawyer representing a party in my case, I would absolutely recuse myself because it doesn't matter whether I believe I could be fair and impartial in that case. What matters is the perception that the public has that our justices are for sale. And we need to fight that perception. We need to get back to where the public honestly believes we have an independent court. And that's what I'm fighting for.
We're talking about the Wisconsin Supreme Court with Professor Ed Filone. He's campaigning for a 10-year term on the court. Top two finishers next week advance to an April runoff. We're wondering what questions you have, what you want to know about his qualifications or positions. You can call 800-642-1234. And Kelly from Cascade has a question for us this morning. Hi, Kelly.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I appreciate hearing the things you've said so far. I'm curious where you stand on environmental regulations. I feel, the land can't fight for itself, the water can't fight for itself, nor can the air. And yet all of these things are at the mercy of a lot of decisions made on its behalf. And I'm just curious what your stance is.
All right. Thanks so much, Kelly. And Professor Filone.
Well, this is an important question, and I think it underscores the importance of having justices with a broad range of legal experience on the court. There are two issues here. One is an issue of local control and whether or not our local communities, whether it's counties or towns or villages, have the power and the authority to pass regulations that protect drinking water, that protect the environment from local polluters. And right now we have a majority of the court that has been dismissive of local control and has instead lodged a lot of control in the state legislature in Madison on these issues, and they're not as responsive to local residents. And then the other issue is it's a bit dry, but it's a question of administrative law and the authority of our agencies, like the Department of Natural Resources, which is an agency in the executive branch. And Dan Kelly, the incumbent, has led the charge in sort of a revolution to try and diminish the authority of these agencies like the DNR. So they have less authority, less power to pass rules that can protect our environment. So these are issues that perhaps fly under the radar, but definitely I see what's going on. And I'm committed to defending local control as a matter of our state constitution. We have a home rule provision and defending our administrative agencies. I don't think we need to overturn precedent and take away their authority to issue rules that protect us.
Professor Filone, on the Supreme Court, you'd be sitting at the top of the state's justice system. From your view as a law professor, what are patterns of mistakes in Wisconsin's justice system that give you concern that you think you could change?
Well, I mentioned the issue of local control, and I think that that's something that is a theme that I've seen over the years by a majority of our court. And I firmly believe that it's government's more responsive to the people at the local level. And it's a mistake to uphold rulemaking at the statewide level for everyone when many local communities have specific issues they're trying to deal with. The other issue that I see consistently is also troubling in a majority of our current justices, and that is an unwillingness to hold our state legislature to the rules of the Constitution. So, for example, in the recent lame duck ruling where the Supreme Court majority said they couldn't tell our state legislature to follow the rules contained in our state constitution in regards to when they were in extraordinary session, that it wasn't their job to tell the state legislature how to follow the Constitution. That is just contrary to the foundation of our legal system, the principle of judicial review, going all the way back to Marbury versus Madison. It's the court's job to say what the law is and to hold our other two branches to the Constitution. And I feel that they have not been living up to that job in recent years.
Are you saying that based on what you saw that was in front of the state Supreme Court, that you would have ruled differently as far as where the legislature needed to stop when it came to the lame duck session?
Well, what I'm definitely saying is that the expression of the idea that it's not the job of our state Supreme Court to hold the state legislature to following the rules of the Constitution, that the state legislature can decide for itself, that statement of principle is one that I absolutely oppose and disagree with.
Ed Filone, what's our justice system doing well right now that you want to continue if you were to get a spot on the state Supreme Court?
Well, I think that there have been some encouraging steps in the direction of criminal justice reform. And on the campaign trail, I talk about three things. I talk about our pilot programs that we have across the state and various counties with specialty diversion courts that keep people who may have an underlying mental illness or addiction problem from getting into the criminal justice system and divert their cases to treatment. I think that that is a positive. I would love to see our state Supreme Court be a leader in expanding those efforts statewide.
All
so
right.
That they are the rule and not the exception, so that we don't have some states, for example, that have veterans courts to help veterans. Some counties. We don't have some counties that have veterans courts, and we don't have other counties that lack them.
Thank you so much. Ed Filone is a candidate for the Wisconsin Supreme Court and up against Supreme Court Justice Daniel Kelly and Dane County Judge Jill Karofsky. I'm Keeley Boltina. It's The Morning Show, and this is the Ideas Network.